Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I don't have the usual kind of talk. I got home really late Friday night from San Francisco, so Saturday was mostly naps. But I don't know if experience is the right word, but I'd like to just share with you a little piece of my trip. When the Zen wave started in the late 60s, there were four primary teachers that came here. Maizumi, who started the White Plum lineage, Suzuki Roshi from San Francisco, Dainen Katagiri, and I don't remember where, I think it was Chicago, and Edo Roshi in New York. And for those of you who don't really are not familiar with Suzuki Roshi, he wrote Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, which is sort of a Bible for many of us, the first introductory book to Zen. And the San Francisco Zen Center, which is located in the Mission District of San Francisco, which back in the late 60s, early 70s was a pretty rundown area. And that's where the San Francisco Zen Center started. So I had the occasion to visit the San Francisco Zen Center, and I found it a pretty moving experience, actually. And my reason for going there is, most of you know that I'm part of four people that go to Avenel Prison to teach medication, and work with the prisoners. And there's a couple of people that I, besides going to the prison, correspond with during the month. And there's also a fellow from the Francisco Zen Center named Jeffrey who does the same thing. So the couple of guys that I correspond with, when they found out that I was going to San Francisco, said, you have to go to the Zen Center and meet Jeffrey. So I called him and we made arrangements. And so I went to the San Francisco Zen Center to meet with him. And the Zen Center is at 300 Page Street. Now, Page Street is like this. I don't remember the other street, but there's a street that's catty corner that goes like this. So that's where it's located. It's a big building, and it's also a residence for students. There's a number of students that live there, but it's a large, large building. And on the first floor, when you enter on the left, is actually a desk, like when you go into a hotel. And, you know, there's somebody there that greets you and deals with you when you come in. And then just past the desk, down a little alleyway, is the Zen bookstore, which has, it's a really nice selection of books on Zen. And then also you come in, and the space that you come in is pretty big, and there are benches there. So let me just mention that this building was originally a meeting place for Jewish women. And in fact, they still have the mezuzah on the entrance to this big space. And it was restored or converted from the women's center to the Zendo by an architect whose name is not coming to me right now, but pretty well known in the world of architecture. So anyway, so you come in the front doors, and on the right there's this great big room, just beautiful, you know, highly varnished floors. The sun coming through these great big windows casts some shadows, but really bright sunlight. And there's an altar that's probably, I don't know, chest high. And it's huge. I mean, it's beyond my arm span. And there's a big Buddha, a 600-year-old Buddha that sits on this altar. And then there's also a metal statue of Manjushri who, I don't know if many of you know, but carries the sword, and the sword is one that cuts through delusion. And then there's another big metal statue of Kuan Yin. But these are not hot off the presses. These are all, I don't know exactly where they came from, but they have a history to them, and they go back in history. So then, again, to the right is this big room which had tatami mats on the floor, and this room was a meeting room for, you know, people from the outside come, or they have meeting with the staff and the people that reside in the Zendo. And then past that, on the right-hand side, are two double doors that, when I was there, were open. And there's this beautiful courtyard with a fountain in the center of it. It has it's stone, and there's a big long trellis on the end that has birds that poop on you if you're not careful. And, you know, and there are places to sit. And this was where I met with Jeffrey, and we talked for probably an hour and a half. But it was beautiful, just beautiful. Every room was beautiful. And then we went downstairs into, doesn't look like a basement, but was just the basement of the building. And we saw the Zendo. Now in the Zendo there, there's a, in traditional monastery Zen, you sit and face the wall. You don't face in like this. So those of you out there, we'd be turned around facing the wall. And those of us here who face each other, there would be a wall here. So there's a wall. So you don't really get to see people till you get up for Kinhin. Again, the Zendo is large, beautiful in its own right. And again, you know, the highly polished floors. And then there's also on that floor, the dining hall. And then right off the dining hall is a kitchen. And when I was there, the monks were hard at work preparing lunch. And then outside the dining hall, there's a han. Do you know what a han is? It's a big wooden block that hangs from the ceiling. And the way that the monks are called to lunch is somebody had this like a hammer and it's just, and it just keeps getting faster. And that's the communication that they're going to serve breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And in the meditation hall, there's a bell, one of these, but it's like this. You could not get your arms around it. And the sound is beautiful. All the sounds of the bells and the Zendo were just beautiful. I mean, they really just stop you and just bong, and it just resonates. And then upstairs were the residences for the students that live there. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Also, probably similar to here, but it's a very friendly place because I came in and I was sort of fumbling around trying to find where Jeffrey was. And everybody there comes by, has a big smile and, you know, asks, can I help you? So that's probably all I can remember just off the top of my head this morning. Anybody have any questions?
I'm just thinking it must be a very thriving community to be able to support such a wonderful, lovely environment. I mean, it takes a lot to support something of that magnitude in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So they probably have you didn't sit in any formal gathering when people came. You didn't really see the whole Sangha or...
No, because everybody was out working or whatever. It was actually, there was hardly anybody there. I saw maybe six people all told. And I didn't really get into that. He mentioned that I think they have a couple of significant donors that support the Zen Center. And then, like us, they rent space out for different programs, which they charge and they get money also. So that's really all I know about how they support it. But I think the donors are important, a big part of how they can afford to do all this. And it's nice having the staff to keep the, when I was there, there was somebody mopping the floors, you know. I think there are four teachers that, and he told me the names and I'm blocking on them now. And then there's Green Gulch, which I believe is in New Mexico, and that's sort of the retreat place where they have their biggest sessions out there. So that's it. Thanks for listening. I thought you might appreciate my sharing that.
Thank you.
Thank you.